Please turn with me in your copies of God's Word to the book of 1 John. Apologize for the solo if you could hear through the speakers there. Realize I still had the mic on. All right, 1 John, and we're going to be looking this morning at chapter 3, verses 11 through 18. First John chapter 3, verses 11 through 18. Hear now the word of God. This is the message you heard from the beginning. We should love one another. Do not be like Cain, who belonged to the evil one and murdered his brother. And why did he murder him? Because his own actions were evil and his brother's were righteous. Do not be surprised, my brothers, if the world hates you. We know that we have passed from death to life because we love our brothers. Anyone who does not love remains in death. Anyone who hates his brother is a murderer, and you know that no murderer has eternal life in him. This is how we know what love is. Jesus Christ laid down his life for us. And we ought to lay down our lives for our brothers. If anyone has material possessions and sees his brother in need but has no pity on him, how can the love of God be in him? Dear children, let us not love with words or tongue, but with actions and in truth. Thus ends our reading of God's Word. Let us once again bow our heads in prayer as we seek His blessing. Our Heavenly Father, we do thank You for Your truth. And we ask now, Lord, that You would bless our hearts and our minds, that we may, Lord, take in what You have for us this morning, and that it may penetrate deep within us. And we pray, Lord, that You would bless my mind and my mouth, that I may proclaim Your word with clarity and boldness. And in Jesus' holy name, we ask these things. Amen. One of my wife's hobbies is photography. She loves taking pictures and photographs. And there is one photograph that we have hanging up in our hallway. It's a photograph that she took when she visited her her brother and her sister-in-law in California, and in San Diego. They went to the beach, and it's one of my favorite pictures. It's a beautiful picture. You see the ocean. There are waves, you know, crashing coming towards you. There's on the left. There's this high pier that is jutting off into the ocean and comes to an end. And it kind of draws your attention to this, it's actually a cloudy sky in Southern California with the sunlight, the rays just beaming through the clouds. It's truly just a wonderful and beautiful picture. Now, after that description of that picture, do you guys have a good image of that? Can you guys imagine the sand and then the waves coming in, the sky above with the sunlight filtering in and this wonderful, beautiful kind of pier jutting off into the ocean? Well, if you're having trouble imagining that, here it is. So this is one of my favorite pictures that Alicia took. Just a beautiful picture, the sunlight streaming in, this wonderful pier, the waves crashing in. Now can you all picture this? Now can you all see and understand? Well, we have a saying in the English language, a picture is worth a thousand words. And as you can see, it's much easier for us to understand something when we see it. You know, I could have described that with literally a thousand words, but it still wouldn't be like seeing it, like you're able to see it. Well, in these verses here this morning, you could summarize, I guess, by saying that our actions are worth a thousand words. And John commands us and exhorts us to not only say we love our brothers and sisters, but to show it, to live it, to let people see it. And that is a theme that we're going to be looking at this morning. And there's actually a slight change in what you have in the bulletin. The theme we're going to be looking at is, let our actions speak of the love of God in us. Again, let our actions speak of the love of God in us. This is the theme we're going to look at this morning. Well, John begins this message by reminding us that this is a message that we have had from the beginning. And this message is to love one another. And this is a truth that we have touched on. I'm not going to spend much time on this one. But again, just to clarify, that many commentators, actually most of the commentators, take the message that we have had from the beginning to be the beginning of when we heard the gospel message, from when the gospel message was first proclaimed. This is a fine interpretation, but I think it's really much more broad than that. Going back to the beginning, the very beginning. After all, where did Christ get his teaching to love one another? He wrote the scriptures. He wrote the Old Testament as well. And he lived the Old Testament, showing us by example what the Old Testament taught. And we see this in Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 5. That is the verse that is quoted, to love the Lord our God with all our heart, mind, soul, and strength. In Leviticus 19, verse 18, where Christ says to love our neighbor as ourselves. But another example that this command goes back to the very beginning, the beginning of time, really, is seen in this example that John gives us of what not to do. When he commands us to love one another, he first gives us a negative example of what not to do. He says in verse 12, "Do not be like Cain." To understand more fully what he's talking about, I'd like you to turn with me to the story of Cain and Abel. It's a very familiar story that many people throughout the world know, but I'd like us to read it. It's found in Genesis chapter 4. Beginning in Genesis chapter 4, verse 1, we read, "Adam lay with his wife Eve, and she became pregnant and gave birth to Cain. She said, 'With the help of the Lord, I have brought forth a man.' Later, she gave birth to his brother Abel. Now Abel kept flocks, and Cain worked the soil. In the course of time, Cain brought some of the fruits of the soil as an offering to the Lord. But Abel brought fat portions from some of the firstborn of his flock. The Lord looked with favor on Abel and his offering, but on Cain and his offering he did not look with favor. So Cain was very angry, and his face was downcast. Then the Lord said to Cain, 'Why are you angry? Why is your face downcast? If you do what is right, will you not be accepted? But if you do not do what is right, sin is crouching at your door. It desires to have you, but you must master it.' Now Cain said to his brother Abel, 'Let us go out to the field.' And while they were in the field, Cain attacked his brother Abel and killed him. Then the Lord said to Cain, 'Where is your brother Abel?' 'I don't know,' he replied. 'Am I my brother's keeper?' The Lord said, 'What have you done? Listen, your brother's blood cries out to me from the ground. Now you are under a curse and driven from the ground, which opened its mouth to receive your brother's blood from your hand. When you work the ground, it will no longer yield its crops for you. You will be a restless wanderer on the earth.'" The first murder in recorded history. A brother raising up against his brother and killing him. This word translated kill in verse in verse 8, when Cain attacked his brother and killed him, it's a word that could be translated and carries with it the idea of destroying, murdering, slaying. It's a violent word. It's a loaded word. This is something premeditated by Cain. You know, and imagine the scene. This is something that they probably did quite often. going out into the field together, maybe talking or working together. Abel would have not suspected what Cain was about to do. But in his word, kill, he destroyed Abel. He rose up against him. It's a picture of beating him until he lay lifeless. But why did Cain kill, murder, destroy his brother Abel? John tells us back in our passage this morning why Cain did this. Cain did this because his own actions, because he was of the evil one. He belonged to the evil one. That is why Cain killed his brother. Abel belonged to God. He was a righteous man. Cain belonged to the evil one. See, he was not wicked because he murdered his brother Abel. He murdered his brother Abel because he was wicked. It's again that fruit principle that we've talked about many times. Abel was a righteous man. Cain was a wicked man. Because of this wickedness, because he belonged to the evil one, it expressed itself in hatred, in envy, in jealousy, and ultimately murder of his innocent, righteous brother, Abel. And by this example that John points us to, we see that we have had the command to love from the very beginning. Through the example of Cain, God is teaching us what we are not to do. We are to love our brothers. We are not to behave like Cain, rising up in hatred against our brothers and sisters. And so this is a command that we have had from the beginning, a command that Cain broke. But in the second point, John reminds us that if we show our righteousness by loving our brothers, the world will hate us, for we have passed out of death into life. Again, if we show our righteousness by loving our brothers, the world will hate us, for we have passed out of death into life. John seems to kind of switch gears here in verse 13. And he says, "Do not be surprised, my brothers, if the world hates you. We know that we have passed from death to life because we love our brothers." Do not be surprised if the world hates you, John says. He's echoing Jesus' teaching in John chapter 15, verses 18 through 21, where he reminds his disciples there not to be surprised if the world hates them, because the world first hates Christ. And this is why the world will hate the people of Christ. It is because we have passed out of death into life. We have been given life. We have this life through the righteousness of Christ. This is how we're made righteous. It is through faith in Jesus Christ by God's grace alone. We can't have or be righteous based on our own actions. It is only by faith in Jesus Christ that we can be righteous, for his righteousness is given to us and our unrighteousness or wickedness is placed upon him. We bear his image. This is why the world hates us, because it first hated Christ. Because we bear his image, the world will hate us. And the connection here with these verses about loving our brother and the world hating us, we show the righteousness that we have, the righteousness of Christ, through our love of our brothers. Just like in the account in Genesis, Cain's hatred, his wickedness, was shown and expressed in that very violent act of murdering his brother, of hating him. So too, our righteousness is shown in our love that we show to our brothers and sisters in Christ. To further illustrate how this ties in, the world hating us if we are Christ, ties in with loving our brothers, you could see an example in the world around us in every part of the globe. In every part of the globe, whenever there is a large space or a perceived space between the extremely poor and the extremely wealthy, whenever there is a perceived space in this manner, the extremely poor get very angry at the extremely wealthy. They look at them with envy and jealousy, and they get angry, and can at times be violent towards them. Now, it's not excusing the filthy rich of not providing or helping those in need. We'll get to that later in the sermon. But this illustrates for us the anger that can come from those who are extremely poor towards those who are extremely wealthy. And that illustrates the truth that John is showing here, the world hating the people of God. Because ultimately, brothers and sisters, in Christ, we are all extremely wealthy. Spiritually, we are extremely wealthy. We have been given eternal life. Our transgressions and that record of debts that was against us is completely removed through faith in Christ. And we have been given life in Him. Remember last week, the Reverend Ryan Hughes talking about this incredible gift that we have been given. We are not saved by any good deeds that we do here in this earth. Our good deeds can't save us. They cannot cover up the sin that is there. It takes the righteousness of Christ. And it's only by faith in Him that we can be saved. So those who have bowed their knee to Christ, who are God's people, who bear His image, who love their brothers and sisters, are extremely wealthy. Whereas the world, or those who remain in their sins, are still extremely poor. They have nothing spiritually. They may be very wealthy in this life, but spiritually, they are very poor. So there is this natural envy and hatred between those who are extremely poor and those who are extremely wealthy spiritually. John says something surprising, that anyone who hates his brother does not have eternal life. Again, that draws us back to what is shown in our actions, in the actions of Cain. His hatred towards his brother is shown that it shows that he was wicked, that he belonged to the evil one. Whereas our love for our brothers and sisters shows that we are in Christ and that we have His righteousness. So if we hate our brothers and sisters, if we raise up against them in anger, if we do not have pity on them, as John explains in a few verses, we show to the world around us that we are still in our sins, that we are still in our wickedness, and that we do not have eternal life. So by loving our brothers, we show the righteousness that we have been given in Christ. We do not earn this righteousness through our love, but we show the righteousness that we have been given in Christ. So how do we know how to love our brothers and sisters? We know how to love our brothers and sisters because Jesus showed us how to love our brothers and sisters in Christ. John says, beginning in verse 16, "This is how we know what love is. Jesus Christ laid down His life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for our brothers." The example that Jesus Christ gave us on the cross is how we know what love is. This world has no clue of what love is. It gives its definition of love, and what we see in movies and televisions and in television shows. But this is not love. That is not love. It is purely selfishness. The love that we see in most movies and TV shows is a love driven by satisfying one's own wants and desires. There is a lustful craving, a perceived need that they have, and so they seek to fulfill it, and they call this love. The world really has no clue what love is. We have been shown what love is through the sacrifice of Jesus Christ. He laid down His life for us. While we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. No one took it from Him, as He says in John 10, verse 18, but He laid it down for Himself. And so following our Savior's example, we are to lay down our lives for our brothers. But then John strikes it home to all of us. And if the passage just ended there, imagine we would all come away thinking, well, of course. We tend to think higher of ourselves than we should. But of course I'll lay down my life for my brother. You know, of course I'll lay down my life for you. If somebody were holding a gun to your head, I'd jump in and I'd sacrifice my life for you. But John brings it home to our day-to-day life. He says, if anyone has material possessions and sees his brother in need, but has no pity on him, how can the love of God be in him? Dear children, let us not love with words or tongue, but with actions and in truth. God isn't calling us to sacrifice our lives and die for one another. Not saying that he wouldn't. We don't know what the future holds for each and every one of us. But this command to love one another as Christ loved us, the example that Christ shows us, plays out in our day-to-day lives. We are called, if we have the material means to meet the needs of those in need, we are called to sacrifice those needs or those material possessions we have in order to meet the needs of those who are in dire need. This word here, pity, it is translated pity in the verse 17. The literal translation is, shuts his heart from him. So John is saying, if anyone has material possessions and sees his brother in need but shuts his heart on him, how can the love of God be in him? It's not simply that we don't have pity. This translation can give the idea of kind of a passive thing, but this is really an active thing. It's a shutting of one's heart, a turning away from one who is in need. There's a popular musical artist named Dave Matthews, and the Dave Matthews Band. I've referenced him once before in one of my sermons. Alicia and I are big fans of Dave, if I can use his first name. But he has a song in his latest album called Dive In. And this song begins with these words. I saw a man on the side of the road with a sign that read, "We'll work for food." I tried to look busy till the light turned green. These are powerful words. Something that each and every one of us, I'm sure, has done. I know I have, to my own shame. John says that we must love those in need. That is how we follow Christ's example of self-sacrifice in our day and age. We sacrifice our material possessions, our worldly goods, to come to the aid of those who are in need. How can the love of God be in him, he asks. Now, the love of God can be love for God or God's love for us. It can really be taken either way. How can any love of God be in us if we don't do this? How could God's love for us be in us if we do not do this? It can really be taken either way. The fact is, if we do not love our brothers and sisters in need, John is saying that this is a warning light to us all, that God's love is not in us. And then he exhorts us in verse 18, dear children, let us not love with words or tongue, but with actions and in truth. Actions and in truth. Again, John is emphasizing the need to combine and to have together love and truth. Actions and in truth. See, the truth that we hold to is not simply a list of propositions to believe in. Truth governs our actions. What we believe to be truth governs every action that we have, every thought, every word. If we hold to the truth of God, we will live it out in our lives. If the truth of God lives in us, it will show itself in our actions. Again, drawing our attention to that fruit principle. If Christ's love resides in us, we will love those who are in need and show our love towards our brothers and sisters. So if we shut our hearts to our brothers and sisters in need, we need, brothers and sisters, to examine ourselves. We need to look within our hearts and see if the love of God does reside in us. And in conclusion, note the contrast that John has in these verses. He gives the negative example of Cain. Cain, who belonged to the evil one. His belonging to the evil one showed itself in the wickedness of his heart. And this wickedness made manifest itself in the hatred that he showed towards his brother Abel in murder. The positive example of what we are to do is Christ. Christ in his people is our righteousness. And this righteousness shows itself in the love that we show one another, that we show our brothers and sisters who are in need. And instead of showing itself in murder as hatred shows itself, it shows itself in self-sacrifice. You can think of murder as the sacrificing of a life for our own perceived needs. Whereas self-sacrifice is sacrificing ourselves for the genuine needs of another. So, brothers and sisters, this is the admonition that we have from John this morning. Is to let our actions speak of the love of God in us. Amen. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you for this word. It's a very challenging word to us all. We know, Lord, here in the United States, you have given many of us great material wealth. May we, Lord, see the needs of our brothers and sisters and be able to meet those needs. May we as a church be able to come to the needs of those who are in help or are in need of great help. We pray, Lord, that our love or the love that you have shown us or our love of you will be made manifest and shown through the love of those that we show towards those in need. And we pray, Lord, that when we fall short in this, that we won't be overwhelmingly discouraged. For, Father, we are all still in the process of sanctification. And from the moment when we first believed and placed our faith in Christ, you, Lord, have been working in us, and you call us to strive as if we are running after a prize, to seek after this godliness, this sanctification. And so, Lord, when your word shows us areas where we need to repent and seek forgiveness, may we not be disillusioned or disheartened, but may we rest all the more upon the blood of Christ, which we come to remember this morning, in his wonderful and beautiful and saving work upon the cross. And we pray, Lord, that you would help us to rely upon this all the more. And in Jesus' holy name we ask this. Amen.